about the weather. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are just truly thankful that we can recognize you as our Father. You are a God full of grace and mercy and long-suffering, and we're just thankful for that, and we're thankful that we're your children, and we're thankful for this opportunity that we've had to, or are having to gather as brethren and to remember the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf, to sing songs of praises to your name, and to open your word and study from it. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd be with each family represented here and continue to bless them. We continue to remember the Simmons and the Alloway families and their loss, but we're thankful for the new soul that's been added to our family with the Munoz daughter, and we're just going to pray that you bless them as they begin their life with a new child. We just pray, dear Lord, that as we open our scripture this morning and continue our study in Acts, that we will continue to look to how you are in control, your providence, and of course the example that we have of Paul. So help us to glean from it what you would have us to glean as we carry on with our studies. But we're thankful for Jesus. Everything that we have is through him, and we're just thankful, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. I will let everybody know that I'm going to try and do my best. This morning I had some technical issues and I have no notes, so we will persevere and we'll try to get through this morning. Today we're going to be going over chapter 24. We're going to go back to chapter 23 and go over the letter that we failed to review on Wednesday night. So these are the items that we'll cover in our class this morning. But as a part of a review, remember Paul is in Jerusalem. And we talked a little bit about on Wednesday, we went back to Romans chapter 15 and read his prayer, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now, you brethren, Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be accepted, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. And, you know, they were delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Actually, I believe that's through the Roman help there, being delivered from the Jews, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. If we go back to Acts chapter 21, as he goes into Jerusalem, in verse 17, and when he had come to Jerusalem, their brethren received us gladly. And so here again, we see where Paul's prayer is coming to fruition through God's providence and care. His prayer is being answered, and so we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we have this message that God has given us as the example of that. So we're here in Jerusalem. He's saved by the Roman guards. He gives his defense, and he gives his defense before the people and then before the council. And it says that the Lord stood by Paul. Over in 2 Timothy, I don't have the verse with me, but I'm just going to reference it from my notes. Toward the end of his career, it talks about how when he's being tried, no one was there with him. Everyone, it felt like, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. All right, and so there again, here's an example of Paul knowing what God was doing for him. And so I think we can continue to learn from that, and that when we face our trials and tribulations, God is there with us. Whether we accept his presence or not is really up to us. But I think Paul did. I think it's obvious that Paul did. I think that we can learn from that. We remember the vow, the 40 men that said that they're not going to eat or drink until they kill Paul. This is communicated through God's providence, in my belief, through Paul's nephew to the centurion and then to the commander. And then the commander takes action, right? He puts a large contingent of soldiers, 470, and they leave at 9 o'clock at night, and they go to Antipatris and then to Caesarea. And we talked a little bit about the city of Antipatris, which was a very well-known city at the time because of where it was located on the way of the sea. So there was a fortress there. And then they went to Caesarea, and we talked a little bit about Caesarea at the time, built up by Herod the Great around 8 BC. And this is the remains of the harbor. And I believe I misspoke on Wednesday night. It was 40 acres, and I think I said could hold 600, but when I reviewed my notes, it's 300 ships, so I apologize for that. But it was a big harbor. All right. And then this is Herod's palace. We'll talk a little bit about that today also, some of the things that he built at that time. And so now let's turn over to Acts chapter 23. We're going to see this letter that Claudius Lysias wrote to. This is in reference to Paul, who he was sending. Now we're back in Jerusalem at this time, prior to him going to Caesarea. Claudius Lysias, verse 26, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. So I think when he wrote this letter, he was, I think, trying to think of himself a little bit, right? So he adds a little bit, leaves out quite a bit. So it says here that when he, coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. But what did he do? When he came to his aid, right, he bound him with chains, right? Chapter 21 and verse 33. And then after Paul spoke to the mob, and they were riled up, they were tearing their clothes, throwing dust in the air, what did the commander want to do to Paul? Take him up and scourge him so that he could find out why is the mob acting like this? But he failed to mention that, didn't he? Because that after that, as he was prepping him to be scourged, that's when Paul tells them that he's a Roman citizen, and everybody steps back. Can't do that to a Roman citizen, right? Yeah, I rescued him having learned that he was a Roman. And then I wanted to know the reason they accused him, and I brought him before their council. And that's valid. After they had gone to the council, or after this, after he found out he was a Roman citizen, he says, well, I'm going to take you to the council, and found out. So he was there. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him, deserving of death or chains. And so, per the Roman law, what the Jews had brought forth to charge Paul with wasn't against any Roman law, so therefore the Romans didn't feel that they needed to harm him or do anything adverse to him, which of course resulted in the vow from the 40 people, right? And when it was told to me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, and so that's where the nephew comes in and tells him about this vow, I sent him immediately to you and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell. And so we see down in verse 33, when they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. So you would have to imagine that Felix receiving this letter goes, ooh, I wonder what this letter's about. So he probably read it. And he read, of course, what we just read. When he read it, he asked what province he was from, and when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you when your accusers have all come. Commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium. And so this is a artist's rendition of Herod's praetorium. These are some plans that I pulled off the internet, so I don't really know if that's accurate or not, but I'm assuming it is. From a legitimate website, that's all I'll say. But it was pretty, and these are the ruins there still in Caesarea of Herod's palace. So this is where Paul would have been put, waiting for his accusers to come. And so he was there awaiting him in Caesarea until they came. Chapter 24. Now after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. I did a little bit of research on Ananias, but it's on my computer at home, and I don't feel comfortable trying to regurgitate that. But he was put in place by Herod of... Anyway, I'll go over that the next time that I have that. I don't feel comfortable trying to remember all that information. But he was known not for being not a nice man, believe it or not, known for that. And here he comes. He comes down, the high priest, with the elder, and a certain orator named Tertullus. So this orator, it's really a kind of a lawyer. And it was a lawyer who fully understood the Roman law, because they realized they weren't going to be able to persecute Paul based on the Jewish law. And so they probably hired this Roman lawyer to go down and present their case for them. And so as he begins to speak to him, he flatters Felix, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. So he's kind of buttering him up, telling him how good he is. Felix, I do have those notes, so let me reference my notes here. Felix served as the Roman procurator of Judea from approximately AD 52 to AD 60, appointed by Emperor Claudius. And these procurators were responsible for maintaining order, executing Roman law, and collecting taxes. He was a powerful figure in the Roman court, and his rule was characterized by harsh measures against dissent and widespread corruption. He was known for accepting bribes and using extreme violence to suppress crime. He was eventually recalled to Rome around AD 60, facing accusations of mismanagement and violence against Jewish population, and he escaped punishment through the influence of his brother Paulus. So we do know that he actually went out and the Egyptian that the commander was referencing when Paul was bound in the temple, Felix actually, per history, finds them and quells that. And so he does some good as far as that, but he's got some underlying things. He's looking out for himself. As it's mentioned, and as we'll see in just a moment, he was really looking for bribes, and he would probably do whatever he was bribed to do. So not a really good character, but yet this lawyer is boasting him up and hoping to, I guess, help the situation by giving him this boastful communication. So after boasting him up, nevertheless, verse 4, not to be tedious to you any further, I don't want to waste your time anymore by telling you how good you are, right? I beg you to hear by your courtesy, for you have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And that term plague, that dissenter, those creating dissent, not typically, this is used, as we all know from a medical standpoint, how bad the plague is, but yet this term is used for people who are creating conflict and dissension. And so he states that they believe that Paul is this plague, a center of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world. Well, throughout the world, what is that referencing? Well, it could reference back to, remember, the Jews that were in Asia who came down, and they're the ones that accused Paul of taking Trophimus, a Greek, into the temple. So now you get into Asia, all this sort of stuff, and so they're expounding again, right? It sounds like, oh, all over the world, all over the known world, right? But it could have been just those individuals coming down from Asia. A ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. This sect of the Nazarenes, some of the Christians were identified from that because, of course, Jesus was from Nazareth. And so that could have been a way of identifying who this was. And of course, you looked at a sect, and sometimes this is used in a derogatory, but it's just really an idea that's different from yours, right? But this sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him. A little bit of difference of what the Jews from Asia, because they accused him of actually taking the Greek into the temple. Here, they use the terms, he tried to profane the temple. So a little bit of difference of what actually happened. And we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. If you reference back to in Matthew, Jesus was standing before Pilate. Pilate says something to the effect of, "Hey, I find no charge in this man. Go and try him by your law." Well, by our law, we can't put anyone to death. That was interesting, wasn't it? All right, so they, by their law, they can't put anyone to death. And what were they trying to do? They were trying to kill Paul. So just interesting concepts of the mindset of these people. But the commander, Lysias, came by and with great violence took him out of our hands. And that's a little bit of a... they probably had to have some violence because of the way the Jews were handling Paul, but we're not told that they came down and they quelled the uprising. And I'm sure that there were probably some things thrown at people and all that sort of stuff, but we're not seeing the great violence seemed to be from the Jews to Paul, the way that it's written. But here again, here's Felix sitting there. And they're just feeding him this information. And so he's creating this story in his mind, right? Paul's going to have an opportunity to reply. But he's creating this story in his mind of how bad this individual is, this person. Yes, sir. I believe so. I've really not spoken to a lot of Jewish people specifically about that, but I've heard that. Anybody else? I think they don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, so therefore they didn't kill the Messiah in their minds. But that could be a way. I'm sorry? Right. So once the Romans were in power, I mean, they controlled pretty much everything. We talked a little bit about Ananias was appointed through people that were associated with the Roman government. They also kept the robes of the high priest in the Tower of Antonio because whenever they were brought out, that had a lot of impact on the people, so therefore they wanted to control that. And so during this time, the Romans were in control. But who was in overall control? God was in overall control. All right. Verse 7, Commander Caius came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. So we go back to verse 30 of chapter 23. We see that Lysias commanded his accusers to go before to go up to Caesarea or down to Caesarea and be there when they tried him. And Paul's going to have a comment about that in just a moment. And the Jews also assent and maintain that these things were so. And so you see Ananias, probably some of the elders over there, they're sitting back listening. And they're going, yep, whatever he says, yeah, we agree with. That's exactly what happened, right? Then Paul, verse 10, after the governor had said to him to speak, answered, "Insomuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself." And so he shows respect to Felix. Already gone over that. I didn't go over that. I'm going to jump ahead. Go ahead. All right. I'll come back to that if I have time. And so we can see that that Paul is... I apologize for... All right. Is showing respect to Felix. And so that there again, that's another characteristic of Paul that I believe that we can learn from. He's in this situation. He's just been lied about by this person, and yet he is going to respect the position that Felix has. But he doesn't really He doesn't go to the extreme that Tertullus did, right? He doesn't. He respects his position, knowing that he's been in this position for a while. Yes, sir.
Like you just said, there is a Roman thing called captatio benevolentia, which would be to capture the benevolence of whoever you were talking to. It was part of a formula they would use to kind of get the attention.
Right.
And Tertullus is a lot more flowery and you know, colorful in his language. Paul, you're appreciating because it's it does it, but it's very true to it. It's
right.
Very direct and simple.
So yeah, and you put yourself in that situation, you're not going to come in and go, hey, Felix, I've heard about you, how bad you are. That's really not going to be a benefit to you, right? But also, they took Tertullus there for a reason. And he was they called him an orator, right? That's the New King James. Right? And so he was a polished speaker, and he embellished a bit, I would say. All right. Any other comments?
You know, it's kind of strange that when they were talking about Lysias, the commander to come and did great violence, he didn't say that we had created the problem, you know, and the reason he had to come.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit, right? You know, you think about sports sometimes, people get, you know, they throw a punch and they get penalized, but they'll go back to the, why did you throw the punch, right? So, yes, interesting is, and I think they pick and choose what they want to say, right? Because they want to build them up to be the good guys and Paul to be the bad guy. All right, let me begin with Paul. Insomuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And I think what Paul is trying to say is, all of these things that they said about me, all of that happened in 12 days? Really? And so, you know, all of the things where creating this dissension, all the things with the temple, Paul is going, it's only been 12 days. Just want to remind you that. All right, so all of this has happened since I was pulled out of the temple. They neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city. Because when the Jews came down, it doesn't say that Paul was inside the temple finishing the vow with those men, right? And then the Jews from Asia came down and saw him and said, hey, we got to tell you about this guy. So really, Paul had been doing nothing to create any sort of turmoil or anything until the Jews falsely accused him. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. So there it is. It's just words, right? Because who was the one who accused him of profaning the temple? It was the Jews from Asia. Were they with this contingent? Apparently not. I think Paul goes on. All right, I thought that he had mentioned those. Oh, yeah, verse 19. We'll get there. But he references the Jews that had accused him, yet they're not there to testify against that. Verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And so he's saying that, yes, I am worshiping in a different way. And he actually uses that term, the way. And we've talked a little bit about that in that. Other places where Paul references the way, and it's really talking about those who are following Christ, those who are Christians. And he says, yes, they're calling it a sect, and if you want to call it a sect, that's fine. It is different from what they believe. And he's admitting that he does follow this way. So I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Would the Jews have said something similar? I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets? I think they would. I have hope in God, which they themselves also expect, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. This kind of tells me that a lot of the commentators, this group that came down, they feel that they were from the Sanhedrin side, but I think they're probably more from the Pharisee side. And why would I say that? Because he references the resurrection, and there doesn't seem to be any reply from the people that were there. And they also have hope in God, right? He says, just as they have, right? And they have hope of that resurrection. This being so, verse 16, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. And we can remember back when he was talking to the Ephesian elders. He's done everything in good conscience, right? So everything that he's done, he thought he was doing it per the will of God. Just as when Apollos came down and was teaching the baptism of John, he thought he was teaching what was right, and Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him about Jesus. He, and of course, the visit from Jesus on the way to Damascus definitely had an impact in Paul's life. But he's always striving to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me, purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with a tumult. And so here again, he's in there actually following the traditions of the Jews in being cleansed of this vow and helping these other brethren do this, doing absolutely nothing to create havoc, and yet the Jews came down from Asia and falsely accused him. Verse 19, they ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Don't you think that they would have been the ones who should have been there testifying against Paul about what he was doing and the conflict that he was creating, and especially trying to defile the temple by supposedly taking a Greek into the temple, but yet they're not there. Why don't you think they're there? Well, because it's not true, right? I don't know. I mean, who knows if they would have lied, or to tell us, kind of expounded the truth a bit there about what he had accused Paul of doing. But Paul says, hey, the people that accuse me of this thing, hey, they're not even here. Don't you think they should be here? So there again, creating some thoughts in Felix's mind about the whole situation. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. So ask the people that are here, did they see me doing any of these things that this lawyer has accused me of? Except when he was before the council and he talked about being accused because of his belief in the resurrection. And they don't make any comments. So Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way. He adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make your case. This comment about having a more accurate knowledge of the way. Drusilla, his wife, was a Jew. And so she would have, may have known some of the things that were happening with the way, these individuals who are following Christ and being Christians. We're not really sure exactly for the commentators, but there's thoughts out there of how him more accurate knowledge of the way. Now, one of the things we can think about is he was in Caesarea. And so he had been there, I think, when Paul references many years. I think he was there 7 years. So he could have heard about the conversion of Cornelius, but he could have heard about Philip the evangelist doing work in Caesarea. So there's a few ways that Felix could have been more knowledgeable about the way. Yeah, I think the way that I took it was he probably had a better understanding of what the Christians believed than the Jews even did, right? Because they would probably close, you can't, you know, kind of when they heard the preaching, they closed up their ears, right? But anyway, the Bible does tell us that he having a more accurate knowledge of the way. And so he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends and provide for a visit with him. And so this centurion that had gone up with Paul, there again, we talk about the example that Paul, I believe that Paul was to others. They had probably built this a relationship over the few days that they have been traveling together and talking together. And I'm sure that Paul's mannerisms and his attitude probably had a positive impact upon this. And even Felix, though, I mean, he goes, hey, let's let him receive visitors and everything. So even Felix, I believe, listens to both accounts and goes, yeah, I'm not going to be drastic in my judgment. Let's wait until the commander comes and we'll see what happens. And then he gives Paul, of course, he's still under arrest. We talked a little bit about that. He's still under house arrest, but he's allowed to receive visitors. So that could be an encouragement for Paul. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. Drusilla, I had in my notes the relationship, everything, but I know that she had been given marriage to a king of Essenes or something like that. She was unhappy in this marriage. They happened, Felix, them happened to meet Felix, who was also married at the time. He's married 3 times. He sees Drusilla and he's interested in Drusilla. He sends a magician to convince her, and she actually leaves, violates the Jewish law. Her sister Bernice was apparently giving her lots and lots of heartache, and so she leaves and marries Felix. So she's living; they're living in adultery. And so when Paul, in just a moment, we'll talk a little bit about what Paul spoke to them about. So just remember that as we go. So here's Drusilla, a Jew, but she's living in adultery with this Roman. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." Don't you think it's interesting about the things that Paul talks to Felix and Drusilla about? Righteousness, you know, doing what is right before God. Self-control. I mean, here they're in an adulterous relationship, and he's going, you need to have self-control. Why do you need to do what's right, and why do you need to have self-control? Because God's going to judge you one day. And Felix says, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." It says, meanwhile, Six. He also hoped that money would be given him by Paul. Remember, we talked a little bit about he's known for taking bribes, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. So we see, you know, and that could be the reason why. Hey, let his family and friends come in, because maybe they'll bring him money and then he'll give that money to me and I can release him. But it was an opportunity for Paul to teach and to preach. After 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. So, you know, we read that verse and we click and read over it, but Paul's been in Caesarea now for 2 years. under house arrest. And yet it says that Felix calls for him several times, and so Paul had an opportunity to discuss righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Let me go back real quick. Just got a couple of minutes. This was Felix, this prefector, procurator, and legatus, all depending upon the size of the garrisons or whatever. When you get down into AD 70, when the legions were there, then the leader, the Roman leader, becomes a legatus, but Felix was a procurator. And so I found this just to help us understand where we're at here. So here is Felix and Drusilla. And so Drusilla is the sister of Bernice, but there again, they're the great-grandchildren of Herod the Great. So I thought this was kind of interesting to kind of get our minds into where we are, and as far as all the way coming from Herod, who tried to kill Jesus, to where we are now. So this was a dynasty, the Herodias dynasty, And so all of these rulers or everything had some linkage through Herod. All right, any other questions? That's about all I have. My memory is running low because of no notes. So I appreciate your patience on that. All right, thank you very much.